The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is Sunday, May 19th, 2013, for those listening live, and it's your time, whatever that might be. If you're listening to the recording, welcome to the program. Happy to have you with me, live or via the recording. Either way, you're here co-creating this with me. Your energy is here, so I thank you for that. And as always, let's jump right into connecting so that that co-creative aspect can be at the highest level possible. So, excuse me, let's go right in to connecting with the inner master, the divinity within you. So allow yourself to open that intention to connect with your own divinity, your essence, your soul, your higher self, your oversoul, whatever term or concept works best for you. And essentially, we're opening the doors to allow that energy out into your direct experience more fully. So for many, this is a way to connect to or into this is through the heart or through the solar plexus or through the dantian. But use whatever works for you. You're opening up to allow yourself out. I think of the image in cartoons of someone stretching as they become a superhero. And so this is about allowing your energies to stretch and allow that to flow through all levels of your being, your physical body, your emotional body, your mental body, to flow throughout your energy field, your aura, and even to extend out into all of your relationships, bringing your power into your relationships. And today, as we come into the topic portion, it's largely about relationships, so this is a really good place to start here today. All right, now knowing that this opening is going to be at least this large throughout the time that we're together, we can focus our energies, our attention, our awareness on the next connecting, and that is into our Mother Earth. And so, for many people, the logical way to open to Mother Earth is through the feet or through the root chakra. For others who are perhaps more tactile, it's through the cells of the body. Lying down on the earth is the best way to do this, perhaps, but it doesn't matter if you're lying down or not. You can allow yourself to open to the energies of our Mother Earth and just allow that to flow into you. And again, fill you on each level of your being, the physical, the emotional, the mental, throughout your energy field, filling your aura, filling all levels of your energy field, regardless of whether you even have conscious awareness of them most of the time. And again, flowing out into all of the relationships that you have at this time in your life, helping you to be more grounded in those relationships and able to be more present within those relationships. And so just breathe with that and allow that flow to be nice and easy and expanding. And once more with the awareness that this connection will remain at least this open throughout the time that we spend here together, we shift our focus yet again, and this time we are connecting to the divine beings that are here to serve on your spiritual support team, and they are your angels, your spirit guides, the ascended masters, and other spiritual mentors and teachers that you might have working with you as you are in body at this time. And so once more, we're simply allowing ourselves to open up to receiving the energy of connection with them. And you can think of it as love, you can think of it as support, whatever allows you to receive it most fully is what you want to go with here. And your choice as to how you choose to open. If you choose to open in a specific way consciously, you can open your heart, your third eye, your crown, your entire being, whatever works best for you. And once more, allow that energy flow through all levels of your energy field, your physical, your emotional, your mental, throughout your aura. Again, as I said with the last section, through every level and aspect of your energy field, even those you may not have conscious awareness of. And finally, flowing into and supporting you in all your relationships. Wonderful. And so, once more, knowing that all of these connections will remain open, all of these energies will remain flowing throughout the time that we spend here together today, let's move on to the next level of connection, and that is expanding the connection within the Exposing the Masters Within community. And opening up to receive that energy of the shared intention that we have, the shared intention of empowerment. And so allow yourself to open into receiving that energy, supporting you coming into greater degrees of empowerment. And again, open in whatever way works best for you and to whatever degree feels safe for you. And allow that support to flow in at the physical, the emotional, and the mental. Allow it to flow throughout your energy field, throughout your aura, and again, even into all of your relationships, supporting you to be in your empowerment in all of your relationships. All right, and again, knowing that these energies will continue to flow throughout the time that we are gathered here together, we move on yet again to expand once more, this time to expand out to connect with all light workers, not just those who have heard or connect with this program, but all light workers on the planet. So we're talking millions of beings who are choosing to step toward empowerment in this lifetime and choosing to support others as those others step toward their empowerment. And once more, it is that shared intention, that energy of shared direction, that mass consciousness of supporting empowerment that we're opening into and allowing ourselves to receive to whatever degree is safe and comfortable for us. And allow that on the physical, the emotional, the mental, throughout the aura and in every level and aspect of the energy field. And flowing as well into each and every one of your relationships. And once more, these will remain open to this degree or greater throughout the time we are connected here today. And we move on to connect now with the entirety of the human family and connect with that core piece in each one of us in body that is that core spark of divine remembrance that for me is the seed of the willingness to move forward in life, the seed of the willingness to even be here in body at this time. It's not always easy, but that seed says, I'd like it to be better. That seed says, at the very least, maybe I can make it better. Let's see. And so again, that energy supports what we might think of as progress, although from a spiritual perspective, progress is not what we might think it is, but at the personality level, at the human level, that energy of feeling like we're making progress is a key portion of what allows us to move forward. And so we connect with that, and we connect with that support that is there in every human, whether they would offer it out to others consciously or not. It's there for us to tap into in the mass consciousness of all human energy. And so we just tap into that mass consciousness and fill ourselves with that energy that, yes, we can. We can move forward. We can step further, in this case, moving forward into our empowerment, and let that energy flow into all levels of your being, physical, emotional, mental, throughout your aura and every aspect of your energy field, and even flowing into every relationship. And so thank you for walking with me through this process of opening up and connecting more fully, so that what we share here today can come from the deepest levels of all of us. And thank you for, again, allowing your energy to be part of this co-creative process and feeding me the energy that allows me to bring forth whatever the heck I'm going to share here today, which is always a mystery to me until we actually get completed. So let's get underway. I said in that first portion that we were going to talk about relationships today. And I had a conversation with a friend yesterday, and we talked about relationships quite a bit. And I was able to bring up some things I'd never quite articulated before, and I'm going to go through those and even expand upon them here today, because it felt like it was very useful information to me as it was coming out of me, and certainly to the friend that I was speaking to about it. But before I go there, I want to touch in on something. As many of you already know, in a former life in this body, was an English teacher. And so words have a certain fascination for me. And last night, I saw a program on television. Someone was doing, it was a singing competition. It was local in New England. And there was a song that was being played that I'd never heard before. But it just got my mind jumping in different directions. And I think the title of the song is Settle Down. And one of the key lyrics in it was, I want to settle down, I want to get married, etc., that kind of thing. But it really got my mind playing around with that idea, that word of settle. And even the phrase settle down. You know, because in the song, it's about finding that partner and getting married and having the perfect life and that sort of thing. And yet, the other way that that phrase gets used, that it's certainly most conscious in my head, is when we're trying to quiet down, typically it's children, when we're trying to get people who are creating a ruckus, who are being loud, who are being rowdy, settle down in that sense means stop expressing yourself so much or so loudly or so fully or so much in my face. And I find that interesting, that those two things are linked together through the same phrase. The idea of settling down to get married, and that has that energy of, oh, I'm becoming an adult. I'm stepping into my responsibilities in the world. And it definitely has connection with so many of the cultural paradigms about what it means to be successful, is we find that relationship that is the perfect relationship, that is the one that we can allow ourselves to, well, the theoretical ideal out there is allow ourselves to be with for the rest of our lives. Of course, in our culture, that kind of settling down, that aspect of permanence seems to be very, very undermined, seems to be dissolving. I don't know that the divorce rate is climbing, but it certainly has gotten much higher over the last 50 years than it ever was before. And so I wanted to play with that phrase a little bit. That's part of what goes through my head when I'm not doing anything else, is wordplay. And so it got me playing with the word settle. And the other phrase that came to mind, which I found interesting, that has the word settle in it, the first other phrase that came to mind anyway, was settle up. Well, what does that mean? It means paying your bill, paying your due. I'm going to settle up the check. I'm going to settle up what I owe you. I'm going to make good on my promise to you. And that's settling up. And yet, again, settling down, getting married is about promises. And we do have this paradigm thing in our culture where up is moving forward and progressing, and down is regressing or moving backwards. So again, even in that phrase, settle down, meaning getting married, there is an undercurrent of, well, forward progress is stopping. And so let's go to another aspect of the word settle. And the next one that comes to mind is, what happens with a liquid? Let's start with water. That's the easiest one to describe, probably. And it's got dirt in it. Well, if you let that settle, what's going to happen? The dirt is going to drop to the bottom, and there's going to be greater clarity in the water as the precipitates, as the pollution in it settles out. And that's another interesting aspect of this word settle, that maybe this also has to do with that phrase settle down. When we settle down, when we get married, maybe there is a little thing in here that is about our getting clarified, that the dirt, the debris, that which is the pollutant inside of us can settle as we stop trying to achieve that partnership. Maybe we can allow ourselves to get greater clarity. And so maybe that's another aspect of what's going on here. And then, of course, we have that idea of to settle, meaning to migrate, to go. The settlers who settled the West, who settled in the Americas, who journeyed elsewhere to settle down, to put down new roots in that sense, is what settle means here. And so that's another aspect that can perhaps come into what's going on here. And all of it speaks to relationship. Now, in many cases, it's part of, and I don't say this because I mean it's not true. I say this next piece because it has that effect of being heightened. But the myth, part of the myth of America, is that the settlers came here for freedom they could not get elsewhere, and in many cases, religious freedom. And so, again, settling, being a settler, has that energy of getting away to get more freedom. So again, perhaps that is another aspect of what is in here. And so this idea of settling down as a phrase for marriage as a phrase for finding that partnership and letting go of our wild ways that came before. That's that got to stop the rowdy thing, letting go of the wild ways to settle down, letting go of the need to get away from others who are trying to control us as the settlers. But we find this new space and we settle and we allow, hopefully, our essence to get distilled as in that space, in that relationship, the debris settles to the bottom. So just take a breath and let all of that go. I don't know how much that part is going to flow into the next, but it is all about relationship. The rest of today's time, I believe that's what I'm going to be talking about here and exploring. And I guess perhaps the transition out of that is this, that if that settling down, that finding that particular relationship is about multiple things here. It's about letting go of the rowdy past. We're not out sowing the wild oats anymore, at least theoretically. That it is perhaps not as clearly or as obviously about moving forward. So what does that mean? Well, in our culture, moving forward is about the outward trappings of success. And maybe settling down in that sense is more about letting the debris settle so that the process of moving forward, instead of being the external one looking for that success, has the opportunity to become the internal one, finding out more about ourselves. And again, that other aspect of being the settler, moving to new land, moving to explore, because that's what the settlers did. They had to explore before they found where to settle. Again, it's those ideas are linked, and so the potentiality for that relationship, we'll call it marriage because that's the paradigm, that relationship offers that opportunity for exploration as well. And perhaps that exploration, again, moves from the external, finding the place to settle down, to the internal, getting to explore who we are, which does bring me to that conversation that I had yesterday. And we were talking about, this friend and I, we were talking about relationships and specific things that had gone on in relationships that I've had, that she has had, etc. And what started coming to mind for me as we were just talking about that was that old concept that, well, I've addressed before. I know I've talked about it on the program before. And certainly it's not unique to me, that idea of all relationships being mirrors, that we can see things about ourselves, and that perhaps one of the greatest spiritual truths or ideals is stated multiple ways, but variously. I like the formulations, to thine own self be true, is one of the best to me. And that's what all relationship is about. I firmly believe that. I know part of what I've expressed in the past is the idea that partnership in the cultural paradigm is about success and it's about responsibility, but it's also got that huge illusion of being about happiness, that relationship, we find that, and then we can settle down into happiness for the rest of our lives. All of the fairy tales that end with, and they lived happily ever after, and that follows immediately upon the marriage, essentially, and that's what the paradigm is of that we've bought into in large measure. And I don't believe that's true, that relationship is about self-awareness and self-empowerment, which is not to say it can't be happy, which is not to say it can't be long-lasting, but that's not the purpose. And so all of that is bouncing around in my head. And we started talking about different kinds of relationships. Obviously, not every relationship we have is going to be one of partnership. And even relationships of partnership come at different degrees or different levels. For instance, when I was younger, I don't think it's still the term anymore. It might be. But there was the idea of going steady, and that, well, I think that's gotten changed now into being exclusive. And in that sense, typically, it's specifically about sexually exclusive. I don't think going steady necessarily automatically meant that it was a sexual relationship, but could have. I don't know. I know that term was around long before I was ever dating or trying to have those kinds of relationships. But again, part of what was coming up was different levels of mirroring. And that, yes, every relationship is a mirror, but every relationship is going to mirror different things based upon how much we are allowing ourselves to be seen in the relationship. In other words, how much we're doing what this program at the core is all about, how much we are willing in the relationship to expose ourselves. Because the more we are willing to be within the relationship, the more clearly they're going to be responding to what we're putting out rather than responding to what we're hiding. Which ultimately, that may seem a bit harsh, what we're hiding. It's not necessary. It's not necessarily appropriate to share ourselves completely with everyone else. People in the grocery store might think it a bit odd if when they're checking you out and taking your money for groceries, you're telling them about your vasectomy or your cancer or your divorce or your whatever problems or issues that you're dealing with in your life. Now, having worked as an usher for a number of years, I was always amazed because I had to stand in a doorway. Couldn't go anywhere. I had work to do just standing there looking at the crowd. I was amazed at how many people would come up to me and start to tell me their life story. And I've heard that from many other people who are now walking some kind of a healing path, that they seem to be the one that even complete strangers would come up to and tell their problems to. Well, I think that was partly for me a mirror pointing me in the direction of doing this kind of work. Not that I knew that at the time. I didn't even know this work existed then. Any of this sort of thing, healing, channeling, etc. But in hindsight, I can certainly see that that was a mirror for me, because complete strangers on a regular basis showed up in my doorway and felt safe enough to talk about their deepest things. And maybe it was because I was a stranger. I don't know. But I tend to think that at least a portion of it was that this is part of my work to hold that safe space for people. Anyway, that's aspecific. But this idea of mirroring, again, it got me looking at the different levels. You know, we can have people who are acquaintances in our lives. They may be people that we see socially. Sometimes people we see on a regular basis or people that we work with, etc. Not that I go into an office to do my work, but I understand the concept. I have worked that way in the past. Some of those people, they're going to be the ones we talk about the weather with. We're not going to share with them very much of what's going on in our true selves, what we really care about, what we really desire, what we are, what our goals are, what our motivations are, what our pain is. We're not necessarily going to do that. So those are the acquaintances. And then we have the people that are our friends. And every one of us has a different program for what it means to be a friend, for what is required of that. And we also have different levels. And it may not be that we specifically enunciate all those levels, or we can even mentally divide them out. But if you're like most people, there are certain friends that serve certain functions in your life. This may be the friend that you always laugh with and you have a really good time that way. This might be the friend that you get into those deep spiritual discussions with. This might be the friend that you go to when you want to bitch and moan about your relationship. This might be the friend that you go to when you want to try and get away from everything and not think about your life at all. This might be the friend to go to get advice from, etc. And so you share different aspects of yourself with these different people. We all have that, I'll call it a meter within us, that kind of measures the level of trust that we have in the areas that we are willing to share with each one of the people in our lives. And I certainly don't think that that's a bad thing, but I think it's a useful thing to be aware of. And to look at your friendships and perhaps to ask, to look at our friendships and perhaps to ask, is this friendship feeding me as much as I'm feeding it? In other words, is there balance here? Am I getting as much out of it as I'm putting into it? Because if that's not the case, then if there's an imbalance, and obviously it's a relationship, it takes two to tango, as they say. That's not just about sex. That's about everything. Obviously, if the two of you are in that relationship where there is an imbalance, then that's part of the patterns that you are running and that you are exploring that are being mirrored back to you within the relationship. And so it's not that that's a bad thing, but that's a useful thing to look at within the mirroring. Is this serving me in the way that I would like it to? Is it serving me in a way that I'm actually comfortable with fully? And that allows the opportunity to make different choices. If it's not, would you like to be able to share more? Or do you feel like it's one-sided? You're doing all the sharing and the other person is kind of sitting back and just observing or being aloof, etc. There's so many permutations. There's so many. Every relationship, as far as I'm concerned, between any two people is different than every other relationship either of those people has, and essentially is unique among all relationships that have ever existed, because every relationship is based on where each person is in the moment and where they have been, and no two people have lived exactly the same life. And so every relationship must be unique. So it's not that there is some way that any relationship is supposed to be. But the question is it the way you'd like it to be? And if it's not, what are you willing to do to change it? And so, I'm going to take a step back to ancient history for me, something that was really powerful for me to discover. And it was before I ever really got onto this path at all or knew much about spirituality other than my inner knowing that the Catholic Church, which I was raised in, had it wrong. After I graduated college, after I got married, after I got divorced, I was essentially looking at this question, looking at the friendships that I had. And I'm not sure what prompted this, but what I saw was that there were a lot of those relationships, especially the ones that I had for any length of time, where it seemed that the friendship only existed because I put energy into it. The other person never called me, never called to check on me. And this was multiple relationships and people that at that time I considered to be very good friends. But when I looked at it, they were very different. And perhaps part of what was triggering me to look at it was that going through the divorce, I had connected with and made new friendships that seemed to be of a very different kind, that seemed to be much more supportive of me than the ones from before. And that was interesting to me. And I did a little experiment. And it's not, again, one that I did as a scientist, documenting it, writing it all down, and saying, this was the last phone call I made to that person. But essentially, I kind of went on hiatus, and I stopped contacting those people, those old friends. And it was one of those, in the cartoons, it would be one of those things where there would be silence except for the sound of crickets. And essentially, I made the choice after X amount of time that I was going to let them go. And that was a huge step for me in creating a different kind of relationship as my friendships in my life. And again, it's an example of that mirror. Now, in hindsight, I can look at it and say, well, those were very one-sided relationships all the way along. And they were also the kind of relationships that were not going to survive distance geographically or distance in linear time. Now, why do I say that? Well, I say that because now I have friends that are across the country. I have friends that are in other countries. And I'm not talking acquaintances. I'm talking people that when I speak with them, when I interact with them, when I am in their space, on those occasions that we do find ourselves in the same location, it's as if we had spoken yesterday. And there is that deep level of sharing that I can do with them that is just natural. It's automatic. And the distance doesn't matter. The fact that they may live on the West Coast and I live on the East, or they may live in South America and I live here, or they may live in Europe and I live here, is irrelevant. And the fact that we may go 6 months or 8 months without talking, it doesn't make a difference in the quality of the connection when we do talk again. We're right back to where we were at that same level of depth. And I've gotten to this place from that place where if I wasn't the one making the call was never going to be made again, through this process that I've gone through of walking a spiritual path and looking at those mirrors and making conscious choices. And on more than one occasion since then, I've gone through that same process, not for the same reasons, but I've gone through the same process of having things come up in my consciousness that were very clear markers that a particular friendship, or what I thought was a friendship, was no longer one that was serving me. And in that first example, where years ago I just stopped calling them as an experiment to see if they would call me, and they didn't, that was a passive way of letting them go. I've gotten much better at more actively doing that. And really saying to people directly, I don't feel like this is serving me anymore. I'm not able to be in this friendship anymore. And sometimes that's been a comfortable process, and many times it hasn't been, but setting boundaries is not necessarily going to be a comfortable process, because if we're setting a boundary, it's something that we're not already doing, and therefore it's uncomfortable because it's new. But I have not regretted it. And there have also been relationships where I had to take a break from them to get some space so that I could tell if the relationship was one that was useful to continue, if I could be in the relationship in a different way. And so there have been some of those as well, where I've had to create space for myself and then see what was possible within the relationship with that person in attempting to reestablish contact. Anyway, again, part of this mirroring process. But I want to go further and talk about levels of relationship as levels of intimacy. Because that's essentially what we're talking about. The difference between someone we would call a friend and someone we would call an acquaintance ultimately boils down to intimacy. What are we willing to share with the person? At some point, we're willing to share something that takes them out of being acquaintances and into friendship. And perhaps some people share what they might think of as too easily. They're like those people coming up to complete strangers, me working at the stadium and spilling their guts. Perhaps that fits for you under certain occasions. Perhaps not. Perhaps you're on the receiving end of that, people coming up to you. Perhaps not. I don't really get that often in public anymore, but I'm also not standing still in public. I don't go out and just stand in one place and have to deal with thousands of people going by. So it's much more difficult to corner me that way than it used to be. But that also got me thinking. That idea of levels of intimacy got me thinking about there being levels of mirroring. And so again, I said it already, but I'm going to say it again. The more we share, in other words, the deeper the level of intimacy with someone, the deeper the potential level of mirroring that we're going to get back from them. And so let's jump out of friendship and jump into that thing that gets called partnership. A lot of people just talk about it as, do you have a relationship? But to me, I try to use relationship as any human interaction, and partnership as, this is the person I want to partner with to create a life together with. Saying with many times there, anyway. And that pathway to partnership has different doorways, different paths to get there. For some people, they find it starting with friendship. And maybe that's about shared interests. Maybe that's about a shared job or a same work environment. Doesn't matter where it comes from, but it starts as friendship. And then there's a level of desire that comes in there. Now, maybe it's desire for that meeting of the minds, the sharing at that level. In many cases, it's a desire for a deeper feeling, an emotional desire, and sometimes that starts it off. For instance, I know of relationships that began when someone's previous relationship ended and they were wounded and they went to someone else to boo-hoo about it or to deal with it or whatever. And through that shared deeper emotionality, through that sharing of that wound, the two people bonded, they became more emotionally intimate, and then that grew in the direction of the new partnership. And then, of course, there's the old stereotype of the physical attraction being what draws people together, and certainly that happens as well as a pathway. But that got me thinking about the difference between these types of intimacy. And there are people that physical intimacy is the core of their relationship, but they don't necessarily have that emotional intimacy, and they don't necessarily have the meeting of the minds, the intimacy of the mental. And that is going to have a certain effect upon what is mirrored. All right, there are some relationships that are primarily emotional. Maybe the physical was never there. Maybe it dwindled so that it's not as prominent, and the emotional grew. Okay, that, again, is a certain type of intimacy that opens up a certain type of mirroring. Once more, we can talk about relationships. Maybe they're not partnership relationships, but that meeting of the minds where two people come together because they have a mental resonance. And, again, that leads to a certain kind of intimacy that gives a certain kind of reflection back in that mirror. Well, then let's talk about another way to focus on this. desire, sexual desire, we'll go right to the physical here, sexual desire is another kind of intimacy, even if it's not acted upon. And this is made fun of all the times in the movies and on television, where there's someone has a crush on someone else and it messes with their life because they have this energy of desire for greater intimacy and it's not being met, whether they're shy or whether the other person is already in a relationship or whatever. But that feeling being evoked in us of desire for someone else physically absolutely changes the energetic equation in the relationship. And sometimes it moves forward into those deeper levels of physical intimacy, and sometimes it just becomes this static thing that is an ongoing frustration, and sometimes it destroys the friendship, or it the person steps forward and says, I really want this, and the other person says, no, I don't. And sometimes that can be moved past and a friendship can continue. I've had that experience. And sometimes it can't. Sometimes it means the end of things as far as any kind of direct interaction goes. All right, so that's just desire sexually. Let's take a step forward and step into physical intimacy, sexual intimacy. That again gives another kind of mirroring and opens up for the possibilities it can. Opens up for the possibility of emotional and mental intimacy growing as well. But that's not always the case. Again, it's a huge thing out there in the world right now among those who are certainly younger than me, especially. Used to be called one-night stands. Now it's called hooking up. And it's about having the physical without having the emotional and the mental necessarily. And doing it in a detached way. So it's a physical intimacy without adding the emotional or the mental aspects to it. And again, it's choice among people, but again, it gives us a reflection back in a certain way of things about ourselves. Perhaps they're doing that to protect themselves from the wounding of opening up emotionally or mentally with another and sharing our deepest thoughts. Let's go still further. Another level of intimacy that some people choose is to live together. Now, obviously, there's a difference between living together with someone that you're sexually active with and having a roommate. But still, living with someone is going to increase the amount of intimacy, even if it's just because you become more familiar with the person and the choices that they're making on a day-to-day basis. And it opens things up, and it gives you that reflection back. And that's a huge step. Again, stereotype within relationships, that's become the big step midway between dating and marriage is that thing of, well, would you like to live together? And not saying it's right, not saying it's wrong, it simply is. And it's become a step that's almost the pre-engagement engagement, although more and more people are living together and never taking the step to marriage. And having been married multiple times now, I can understand some reluctance there. And at the same time, and I offer this as something for many of you, you may not have heard this, and yet I resonate with it very deeply. That was channeled very early on. Someone came to me who was having cold feet. And she was actually told that you two are on very different pathways and it might not be the best thing for you to marry this person, because if you get married, this is what happens. You take the vows and your energy fields get merged together in a very different way. You live with someone, you can live with them for 40 years, and you will not have the same degree of merging of your energy fields that happens when you state those vows. There's an energetic shift that takes place. And when you do that, it intensifies the mirroring because it links your paths together even more fully than just by the shared experiences you're having. And it really is going to tip things over into, well, in many cases, a trigger fest, which may or may not be what people want, and especially can be disturbing when they go into the marriage with that idea of the fairy tale of happily ever after. And so it's, I believe, part of what's going on, because the energies are shifting so much on the planet and have been for a couple hundred years at least. And that shift has been accelerating and accelerating and accelerating. And even though we're in a rather calm period right now, since the solstice in December, it's going to start accelerating again in the not too distant future. Whether that's the solstice this summer or whether that's later in the year, I don't know. But that acceleration is going to continue and go up again. And then these things, these mirrorings in our relationships are going to intensify further, and marriage is going to be intensified even further, which is not to say you can't have a spiritual marriage that works, but it is to say without having that awareness at the conscious level that all relationship at its core is about self-awareness and self-empowerment first and not about specifically being happy. I think having that awareness allows the greatest likelihood of happiness because you'll be willing to do the work and understand that it's not the fault of the relationship or your partner that you're unhappy or triggered. It's that that's what it's built to do. Relationship and especially partnership, as we go into full intimacy, as we add layers of intimacy, as we have physical intimacy and emotional intimacy and mental intimacy and even spiritual intimacy, it only intensifies the depth of the mirroring that can take place, which is not to say we can't work through it. The mirroring is there to give us the opportunity to step through those old patterns into new ones, to have new choices to make. But we have to make those choices. And so that is the largest piece of what I wanted to share here today, that it's good to have the idea of mirroring, but it's good to have it and realize that it's not the same. All mirrors are not the same. All relationships are not the same. And to be willing to look at all of our relationships, not as we think they should be, but as they really are, and acknowledge, well, what am I willing to share in this relationship? How far do I go emotionally? How far do I go mentally? How far do I go physically? Again, there's a difference between people you're comfortable hugging and people you're not comfortable hugging. Again, these are that has nothing to do with sexuality, but just that physical contact. Letting someone into your space to hug you that way is a huge thing. It's intimacy. And many, many people are scared of that in one way or another, on one level or another, and for a variety of reasons. And noticing where we're scared, where we're unwilling, where we're afraid to go forward is always a good thing, so that we can take the steps to clear the fear and to make new choices. Not that we have to go hug that person, but just knowing that it makes us uncomfortable to do so gives us something to look at and something to work with and something to free ourselves from the limitation within. All right, so I want to do one quick statement here. Next Saturday, May 25th, I will be offering a channeled guided journey. I don't know what all they're going to do in it. It is going to be the Wesak Festival celebration. We will journey together to the mountains in Tibet, where the Ascended Masters are joining, coming together to bring in the energies for the coming year, for the transformation for the coming year, those anchoring energies. And we kind of get in at the ground floor that way. And it will be at 7:30 Eastern time, and you can call or email if you're interested. And hopefully by tomorrow, I will have the information up on the website and or out through the email. And so, again, call or email if you're interested. That'll be next Saturday, May 25th. For those who are local, I'll also be doing an activation in the afternoon. So, but I'll put that out to those who are local, since those who aren't won't be able to do it. All right, so let's go do a quick channeling here, a quick connection with the other side in that way. As always, allow your breathing to deepen while I do the toning to bring the energies together so they can come in. Hello, dear ones. This is Geronimo, come to be with you today. Welcome. It is good to be here, dear ones. And we know that linear time-wise, we do not have much, so we will be brief. We will be to the point. But what we wanted to do was make an extension with what was just said to you. Make a bridge. And that bridge is actually going to be a challenge. It is up to you whether you take up the challenge or not. It is up to you whether you would pay attention to us in any way or not. But the challenge is this. The challenge is this. To step into this pathway of empowerment that you claim to be on. You claim to be on it. You're here by choice. Hopefully no one is out there with a gun to your head saying, you must listen to this program. You're here by choice. So choose. Choose not just to listen, but to take action. Choose to flow through your relationships and ask, what can I expand in this relationship right now? In what way can I be more present? Or if that doesn't seem to get you an answer, is this relationship still serving me? In what ways is it still serving me? Is there something more that I can receive from it? Or is it completed? And allow yourself to be honest. Many people hold on to relationships far past their expiration date. Out of fear that if they let it go, there will be nothing to take its place, and what will be left will be the void of being avoided by others, like you are a social pariah. And that goes back to days in which physical death was very much at hand among human communities all the time. And it goes back to those days when being an outcast, being thrown out, being banished was essentially for many, if not most, a death sentence. But it's not true any longer. And connections can be had much more easily than ever before. There are many more walking this path of empowerment, many more waking up, many more who would choose and are seeking for their spiritual community. And maybe you're part of that as well, seeking that community. But it exists not just in those around you, physically, locally. That community is all light workers everywhere. And so open yourself to connect with, to explore, to look at, and to expand the relationships that are worth expanding, and to gratefully let go of those that you have already completed with, and move forward in your empowerment, move forward in your light, move forward in your life. And as always, know that you are greatly loved, greatly honored, and watched over. Namaste, dear ones. All right, and you can go ahead and start those chimes, Doug. And I would once more thank all of you. I cannot do this without you. It is my honor and my pleasure to be here with you. I will be here same time, same place next week. I hope that you'll join me. I hope you have a marvelous week. And remember, next Saturday we are doing that WeSock. I hope you can join me for that. If that has any resonance for you, it is a quite powerful experience. I've done this for a number of years now. And so I look forward to hearing from you. Let me know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like more of or less of. And I will see you soon. Much love, my friends. Namaste.